We're going to talk today about King Solomon for just a moment. Actually, for the whole day. For the whole morning, we're going to talk about King Solomon. Praise the Lord. Is everybody happy already?
Yes.
Or do we need to do the Bible reading? If you're ever not happy, you got to do the Bible reading. Think about that in your life. If you're ever not happy for whatever reason, it's not food that you need from the refrigerator. It's Bible reading. If ever you're a little sad or depressed or hopeless or discouraged, you don't need more pizza. You need Bible reading. You don't even really need ice cream. You just need Bible reading. Sounds kind of boring on one hand. On the other hand, it's where all life is. That you can't really live without the Word of God. So this is practice time to show you how to use the Word of God in your life. But in any case, we're going to read 1 Kings. This is King Solomon. After David, his father, the king, passes on, King Solomon's taken over. And God appears to him and says, "What do you want? Ask me for whatever you want and I'll give it to you." Yeah. And so this is the account. I'll try to skip a few and read it down here to verse 7. So Solomon says, "Now, O Lord my God, you've made your servant king instead of my father David, but I'm a little child. I don't know how to go out or to come in." Now, I'm sure he wasn't 4 years old, but he was just acknowledging, "Hey, I'm youngster here. I don't have experience in life." Well, it's 1 Kings. Isn't this account the first thing you have underlined in the book of 1 Kings? 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. Do I have to reread that?
Yes.
Now, O Lord, that they've all found the passage. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I'm a little child. I don't know how to go out or to come in. I don't have life experience is really what he's saying here. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you've chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Notice that term, understanding heart, and discern between good and evil. That's understanding and wisdom. Discernment is wisdom. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And then God said to him, "Because you've asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I've done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there's not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you be arise after you. And I've also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor. So there will not be anyone like you among the kings all your days." So never think that walking with God is going to limit you from good stuff. You pursue the right stuff, you'll have everything. If you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all the other things are added to you. So stop seeking after money, fame, success, YouTube influence, and spouses everywhere. I just kind of threw that last one in there. Stop chasing everything, and you'll have it if you follow God. If you get serious about the Lord, keep your eyes focused on Him and do it right. And so I know we have the kids in here today and teenagers especially, but these are days where if you seek God properly, if you put your focus on the Lord, you'll have a successful, happy life. And if you don't, nobody makes any promises. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 1. So Solomon gets wisdom. Well, all of us need wisdom, right? Solomon gets wisdom and it allows him to succeed and rule the nation, really. So for a good and decent life, we need to have some wisdom. We could say it this way: for a good and decent life, we could follow everything Solomon said. Not Simon, Solomon. Solomon Says is the new game. Because Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, and he also wrote the book of Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. So he was a singer and a writer. Anyway, so if we were to read the book of Proverbs, learn the book of Proverbs, teach our children the book of Proverbs, they could have a long and successful life. Okay? And we need to do that. Now, that's not all we need to do, but that's a good start to follow King Solomon's advice, because he was the wisest that ever lived, really, until the Messiah, until Jesus Christ, and until the Holy Spirit could flood the earth. I mean, Solomon wasn't wise enough to create the iPhone, but he was wise in his generation. That's important. That's an important piece that I'm getting ahead of myself. But Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now, what's a proverb? Proverb's just a saying. A proverb is a wisdom tip for life. Something that's truth. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Every parent say amen. Amen. Kids, you need to listen to your parents. Really, kids, listen. You need to learn from your parents. To be a successful youngster or old one, you're going to have to listen to your parents and grow up. You're going to have to get wisdom just like Solomon did. And that's why the scripture says, obey, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your mother and your father so that you can live long. It's the first commandment with a great promise. So this is instruction that you need to learn from your parents. One of the biggest travesties of this culture for the past probably 50 years, maybe a little longer, but since the information age, is that children think they're smarter than their parents. And it's a travesty because they can't grow properly. They keep wanting to change the world before they understand the world. They keep wanting to run off with knowledge thinking that they're smart when they don't have wisdom. And so that's one of the travesties. So all Christian children should be able to humble themselves under their parents, honor their parents, learn from their parents, and recognize that if you don't, you will sound wrong, look wrong, and be wrong in this life. There was cheering going on in heaven. Not in here, but heaven was like somebody said it again. It does mean that parents need to quit obeying their children. It does mean parents need to discipline their children. I mean, that's Bible. What was that? The Duke of Wellington or Windsor or whatever. The story's been around so many times, who knows. He came to tour the United States and he was getting on the plane to depart, and somebody asked him, the reporter asked him, what was the most dramatic thing that you witnessed, or what was the most exciting thing that you saw? What is your biggest takeaway from America? And he said, well, the biggest surprise here in America is how the children obey their parents. Parents obey. Somebody tell the story right if you're going to tell it. The biggest surprise is how the parents obey their children. Okay, well. Rewind the video and cut that out. Before video, we could cut that out of the audio. You couldn't even tell. I used to edit our own stuff, and I would cut out all the dumb things that we said. I would cut out all the and the amen at the wrong time. I would cut out all the little stuff to make it a little clearer. You can't do that anymore, and I don't have time. Nobody has any time for that anymore. And I'm never going to use a teleprompter. That would take away the fun out of the whole thing. Every time you think that someone has said such a wonderful speech without any flaws, it's teleprompter. Okay, let's go to lunch. Goodbye. We're still in chapter 1 of Proverbs. Okay, so chapter 3. Let's read chapter 3. Just remind ourselves of how important these things are. Chapter 3, verse 1, Proverbs 3, 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace will they add to you. Basically, knowing the word of God will add days to your life. Good days, peaceful days. Peace, long life. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. So kids, there's a big benefit to learning, listening, getting trained up properly in Christ. So thank you, kids, for coming to church and being happy about it. Thank you, teenagers, for continuing to come to church even after you get your driver's license. Thank you, college students, for going to church even during college. Thank you, once you graduate from college and get an exciting job, that you still go to church and you learn and you grow and you be part of the community that's changing the world. Everybody thinks they want to change the world. Well, really, church is the only organism that can do it properly. How do you know? Because I read the book of Proverbs. How do you know? Because I know the Bible. How do you know? Because I know God. And so just trust us that have done it before. Don't trust the world. The world is a liar and a thief. Amen. Lying to you about everything that's wrong and right. Yeah. And robbing you of all of your purity and power. Yeah. So never trust the world, youngsters. Reality is this. Any good church is reality. That's kingdom reality. What we do and say and think and how we act and love and live here is reality. All right. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. Wisdom, personifying wisdom. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She'll bring you to honor. Wisdom will bring you to honor when you embrace her. She'll place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she'll deliver to you. Hear, my son or daughter, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. Praise God. All right, so this begins the whole book of Proverbs, and sure, there's more principles and wisdom tips all throughout the Bible, not just in Proverbs, but Proverbs is a good place to start. I mean, it's only 31 chapters. You could take 31 days of the month, do a proverb a day, and change a child's life. There's instruction of all things related to relationships, business, family, in these Proverbs. I mean, you can learn lots of stuff, what to avoid, what to do, what not to do. Things like, don't wink. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Don't wink, yeah. Winking at someone in public causes everyone else to wonder, what am I missing? Are they telling a joke off on me? And so there's a scripture that gives us little tips on how to relate with one another. How to buy and sell in honesty is in there. For young men, how not to be swayed and lured away by a woman with pretty lips. That there's a trap waiting for you. That's in the Bible. So we've done this before. I'll give you a couple examples. We're not going to do a full one today, but I've done a whole services on wisdom tips, life wisdom, proverbs for life, for current day. So we take some of the Proverbs written and some that are just wisdom tips for today, because if you're wise, you'll handle life properly. Amen. Now, some people lack wisdom. Have you ever known anybody that lacks wisdom? Don't look to your left or right. Have you ever lacked wisdom? The Bible says if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all people freely. And he doesn't make fun of you because you asked for wisdom. But if you lack wisdom, and we all do to some degree, we should ask God. And really, we should ask God in preparation for life, not waiting for some catastrophe or problem to come before we ask God for wisdom, but recognizing how valuable it is just to get moving, just to be safe, just to succeed and prosper in this life. You need wisdom now, so go ahead and ask God for it. Everybody just whisper it under your breath, God, give me wisdom in Jesus' name. I need wisdom, God, in Jesus' name. Help me grow in wisdom in Jesus' name. That should be part of your life. That should be part of your expectation, that you're turning into somebody that can actually handle life problems. That you're turning into somebody that can address issues of the day and know what to do. We've done a few of these, like don't tailgate in traffic. I'm serious. It's wise not to tailgate. I don't care how much in a hurry you are, tailgating means you can't see far enough to hit the brakes. You have to stay back how many seconds? 2 seconds. Well, the 2 second rule is what I learned in defensive driving that I majored in college. I majored in engineering and defensive driving. I took that thing so many times I could teach the class. So you learn things. Don't tailgate. That's a good tip. Don't honk at people in line just because there's a little gap. Come on, chill out. It's not, nobody's causing a problem. Okay, here's another one. Don't get into legal trouble by not paying a ticket or showing up to court just hoping that it'll go away. People have gotten themselves in some severe trouble getting warrants out for their arrest just because they were lazy and procrastinated, something that seemed insignificant and not touching them at the time. No, don't you dare do that. That is not wise. Same thing with doing your taxes. You have time for your taxes. What you don't have time for is penalties after the fact. Here's another one I've said before is auto-draft your bill. Set up all your bill paying to be auto-draft. Okay, well, that's an easy one. And set up your mutual fund IRAs and all that into automatic every month. Okay, that's an easy one. Here's another one. Don't tell somebody that you have something important to talk to them about without telling them what it is. For example, could you please tell the pastor, I have something very important to talk to him about, and I'll talk to him tomorrow at church. And that's why we have instructed our office that if anybody wants to talk to the pastors, we want to know what it is. What's the topic about? Well, it's personal. Yeah, but can you tell me the category? Please, tell me the category. The pastor doesn't want to talk to you if he doesn't know the category of what you want to discuss. Well, I don't want to say it. It's personal. Yes, but our office understands personal business. And so they're instructed by us to not take the call or set the meeting until we know. Why is he being so stern about it? Because it's wise. I would never tell you, I got something very important to talk to you about on Friday. So for the next 4 days, you're wondering what in the world's going on. You're backtracking and thinking about what it could possibly be. That puts undue strain on you. It means I didn't consider you is what it means. It's not wise to do that in relationships. So take it for what it is, but you won't get an appointment. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, we've broken the rules. Somebody fights and struggles about it. It's like, fine, come on in. I make the phone call. I'll talk to you on the phone about it, whatever. We want to help you, but let's do it. We got lots of stuff happening, you know, people. Okay. Wisdom will allow you to solve current issues of the day, okay? And that just means how to think, how to vote, how to respond to all the pressures that society and the world puts on you. Like the question really doesn't come up in the church. It's pretty clear. Once you're saved, it's pretty clear if abortion is right or wrong. It's pretty clear in most cases. But then the question that the world presents is, when does life begin? They don't want to say that you're really killing somebody. So the argument is, how many months and when does it become a life? And we have answers from the Bible about that. So we learn the Bible, we acknowledge God's word, and then we make our conclusion from that. And the answer from the Bible is that life is in the blood. Life is in the life is in the blood. Once there's blood, there's life. Once there's no blood, there's no life. And so you got to find out that from the Bible, and then you can combine it with science. Science tells us that a fetus has blood flowing in it about day 15. Day 15 after conception, there's blood flowing in the fetus. That answers the question. So really, you don't want to take any baby's life. Once you know you're pregnant, it's about 15 days, a month or whatever. It's got blood flowing, so you're keeping the baby. It's a life sent from God. God put that blood in there. So it helps you answer the question. I know that there's other extenuating circumstances, but that's the real answer for when does life begin. Oh, we could go into cancel culture. Wisdom will help you be able to handle cancel culture. Y'all know what that is? I don't even know what that is. Okay. It just means wearing the badge of what you believe so strongly that if somebody does something contrary to what you think, you just boycott them. You despise them. You throw them in the trash can. Everything that you say from this day forward, nobody's going to listen to you because of what you thought or said. Well, they're canceling Christians left and right. They're canceling businesses left and right. Chick-fil-A is canceled by the world. Now we got Christians canceling non-Christian businesses. I'm boycotting Starbucks. If you boycott Starbucks, how are the Starbucks employees going to get saved? Amen. All this flag raising and all this stuff, it's not really great. Really, cancel culture borders on judge not lest you be judged. Thou that judgest, doest the same things. All these people canceling others out, they're doing the same stuff. Especially in politics. Oh wait, that was last summer. We're in a whole new year, praise the Lord. All right. How about the two gender? Where do I start? The two gender issue is almost unbelievable. To a rational person, it's almost unbelievable, all the stuff that's happening and will happen probably from this. And it's probably going to get so bad that people will recognize it and we'll flip it back right at some point. I mean, that's the hope at least. But the two-gender argument, like there's more than two genders, is really an embarrassing trait of this culture. And so what does the Bible say about it? Well, in the Bible, God called them male and female. He created the humans, called them male and female. He created animals, and he called them male and female. And don't bring up the couple odd organisms that are androgynous and have both and all that. He created a male and female. And he said it over 120 something times in the Bible. Male and female, he created them. Male and female, he created them. The humans, the animals, male and female, male and female, male and female, male and female. Why would he do that if it wasn't important? He probably did it knowing that 2020 was coming. 2021 was coming. It's important to recognize God had a plan. And you don't just decide to change basic things like that. That's what's so ridiculous about it. You know, now you can't even have a Mr. Potato Head. They're trying to change everything. Legos have dropped all the gender-specific characters or whatever. It's just strange. It's just strange. So, listen, it's okay. Youngsters, it's okay to assess things that the world and the culture is doing and saying no. It's okay to look at it and say, you know what? That's not right according to God's word. You're wrong. Well, that hurts my feelings. I know, and I don't want your feelings hurt, but you're wrong. It's okay to recognize the world is wrong. And well, you're judging. It's okay to judge right from wrong. Who says what's right? God says what's right. And it's okay to side with God on sin and rebellion and all that. So you're in good company because you're siding with God. Yeah, but I have a friend who, look, side with God and care for your friend. That's why we're here. We're here to have compassion on those that don't know the truth. We're here to have compassion on the ignorant, so that they can receive Jesus Christ and come into truth, into reality, into healthy living, healthy life, healthy thinking. Praise the Lord. All right. Here's another one for youngsters. Don't put off marriage for some arbitrary age. I'm going to wait till I'm 30. Society is encouraging wait, wait, wait. Well, that's predicted in the Bible. Then in the last days, people would be forbidding to marry and to abstain from all these foods. It's happening today. Well, that was predicted in the Bible, but it's a sign of the times. The point is, the Bible actually says, don't forbid. The Bible actually says, Solomon said in the Proverbs, rejoice at the wife of thy youth. Be satisfied with the one that you loved at an early age. It doesn't mean you have to get married young, but don't force yourself not to. Those who say, I'm waiting until I'm 35 and on my feet and sow my oats and all that, okay, all right, good, all right. So how much fornication are you planning? How much temptation do you think you can actually resist? So the way that culture is today is just really, really wrong. Amen. Yeah, but they're not mature enough. Well, if maturity is the problem, then grow up. Christian kids should be grown up by the time they're 18. Amen. You don't let kids stay kids as long as we're letting them stay kids. Teenagers should be well on their way to full adulthood. By the time you're 18, you're fully an adult. At least the government thinks, though, they'll send you to war. By 18, you're supposed to be fully adult. You don't get your 20s to grow up. This is just wisdom, right? Everybody's real enthused about it, Pastor Joni. They're just so happy I'm talking about their children. Their parenting. Praise the Lord. If financial stability is what you think you're waiting on, get in line. There's 40-year-olds still shooting for that. If it's fun you think you're going to have, well, give that up early. Go ahead and give that up early. Have fun with your spouse. Grow up with your spouse if you can. And many people don't get married young, but don't make yourself not. Praise the Lord. All right. Here's another one that you... Oh, I don't want to go through that one. That was, are these okay? We're dabbling in your personal life. Okay, I'll do that one. How many of you sports fans out there? Most of us gave it up. I only see about 15% of you liking sports. So all my sports analogies, you'll just have to bear with them. In sports these days, in every arena, you got free agency now that allows players to basically pick their team at certain times in their career. Just pick their team, go to the best team, try to win a championship. So now it's all about the individual getting his championship ring. And so you got all these the teams that have the most money getting all the best players because the best players want to go play for the best team so that they can win a championship. That is totally, totally wrong. It's embarrassing to all sports that we allow the best to go all group up together so they can win their little ring. An honorable person would say, you know what? It's not worth it unless I beat the winner. It's not worth it unless I beat the best.
That's right.
I'm staying with this team. We're going to make this team good and beat the best. My fortune was that I got picked on this team. And so we're not going to go change teams. As little league kids, we didn't change teams. It's like, why is he talking about that one? I don't know. It's the same way in ministry. You don't pick your favorite ministry and change your locale to go play for the best team. No, you go make where you're at great. We go to Bible schools. You're supposed to go to Bible school and come back. You're supposed to go to Bible school and get trained and then go somewhere to reproduce what you got at Bible school. And it's one of the hardest things for Bible school students to recognize that even though this environment was so wonderful, it's not the end. It's the means to reaching the world, not the means for your little personal enjoyment. Really, I mean, good Bible schools, like the one I teach at every year, World Harvest in California, they have a rule and they make the student sign the piece of paper that says, I promise I will not stay here after Bible school. I will go back to my home church to serve. They make them sign that so that the pastors expect the person to come back because they recognize what the purpose of school is. Goes over real big. Oh, here's a good one. Don't quit your job because your boss hurt your feelings. Or because your honor was questioned in some way. You keep working in the face of the wicked person. You leave when God says and only then. And really only after you have another one lined up. Never leave your job out of anger and then be out of work for 3 months. Why are you saying this? Because so many times I've had to tell people, what have you done? It's exasperating to see people make unwise decisions, especially out of emotion or offense. 1 Peter 2:18 says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. How many of you have harsh bosses? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. How many have harsh bosses? Oh, you be submissive to them. For this is commendable if because conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. You get extra treasure if you can hang in there with a bad boss. Oh God, send me to a Christian boss. Send me to a Christian boss. That is not a prayer that we pray. All right, praise the Lord. Here's one for teenagers. Don't take off from school after high school for a year. Don't take a break. Don't take a break, get a little job, and then decide you're going to go back to school one day. Just ask those that tried that. It's unwise. No, you need to put in your extra 2 to 4 to 8 years extra. Do it now. It's hard. It's not fun. It's rigorous. You do it now rather than later. Because instead of 4 years now, it's going to take you 10 years later. Just ask anybody that tried it. Vacation year. Some kids take a whole year of traveling. Are you kidding me? You don't get one of those. You have to go earn your way, get to a job that allows you to have 2 weeks vacation. That's all you get. Life is meant to work. We've been working on you, getting prepared for work. Now work. Another one for teenagers, don't listen to music all day long. Don't stay on your electronics all day long or TV all day long. Parents? Okay, here's one for the parents. Don't watch political talk show all day long. Don't listen to talk radio all day long. Don't listen to Christian TV dumping all of Washington's problems on you all day long. That is not wise for your life. Praise the Lord. Brian, we got everybody? Have we nailed everybody so far today? All right, turn to Ecclesiastes, which is just after Proverbs. So bottom line is wisdom is absolutely necessary. You can answer all of life's questions through the scriptures. For the most part, you'll find it in the scriptures. But here's the deal. Solomon was limited. Solomon's wisdom was limited. Solomon did not have what you and I have. He had things that made for a good natural life, honorable and respectable life. What Solomon did not have is any understanding of spiritual matters. Solomon was not born again. Solomon was not awakened in the Spirit. Solomon knew nothing of the Holy Spirit. Solomon didn't know his new nature in Christ because there was none. Solomon didn't understand the power of the Holy Spirit. Solomon didn't understand God's union inside of us. Solomon was limited, and therefore he wrote Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is not a very happy book of the Bible. It's quite discouraging and depressing. There's some good parts in it, but for the most part, it's quite depressing. So never read Ecclesiastes when you're sad. And never read Ecclesiastes without your New Testament glasses on. Because Ecclesiastes is not the end of the matter. Ecclesiastes is not the end of wisdom. But just take a peek here as you think like Solomon was thinking. Chapter 2, we'll just pick a couple here. Chapter 2, verse 10. As wise as he was and as much as he had in life, he says some things that really put things in perspective and stop us from pursuing these things in the natural. So Ecclesiastes 2:10, he said, "Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my reward from all my labor. But then I looked on all the works that my hands had done and all the labor that I toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun." So he did everything he wanted to do, and still it felt like he was chasing the wind. Meaning it's fruitless. Vanity would mean unnecessary, fruitless in the end. Seems like it's important. In the end, it's not important at all. So we avoid it because we know there's nothing to it. And the quicker you learn that in life, the better, and the less time you'll waste in life. It's not all about just having fun. But I like this one. He said, whatever my eyes wanted, I did not keep from them. And these days with media and digital stuff, when are you going to set some boundaries for your own eyeballs? When do you not watch the video that says, this was funny? It ain't always funny. There's always a bait. When are you going to recognize, I don't get to watch every clickbait? You can't leave. The ushers have locked the doors. We're going to confiscate cell phones for your Memorial Day weekend. You're going to have to set some boundaries for yourself, or you'll find that you're kind of like Solomon in the end, and you'll feel like you're just muddied up and can't solve the problems. Okay, so read over here, verse 17. 2:17, Ecclesiastes 2:17. Therefore I hated life. Solomon, rich. I hated life because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. He gained all of this worldly material things, and he hated it because he didn't get to keep it. Well, what's the problem? He doesn't understand. He's not thinking eternally because he's not spiritual. He's not woke. Out of all the wokeness that we might could have, being woke to God is number one. Being awakened to God within and the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God is the first most important aspect of your eyes coming open. Amen. He was not. He was sad because he was relegated to this natural, argumentative world. And what you'll find is those, even Christians who aren't awakened to the Holy Spirit, who aren't very spiritual Christians, they will find themselves arguing with conflict, angry, disappointed, depressed in carnal, natural things. Any denomination of Christianity that does not accept the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit baptism with power is going to find themselves with wrong theology at times, arguing about insignificant things because they don't have a spiritual perspective. Once you have a spiritual perspective, woo! Your face changes. Your life changes. You won't ever talk like Solomon once you know the Holy Spirit well. Can I get just a little squeak of an amen? Amen. Telling the church to amen you is kind of like telling somebody to love you. Wisdom tip number 34 to all the preachers. If you read further along, Solomon tried to drink his depression away. He tried to party it away, tried to get riches, and they flew away. He called it all vanity and grasping for the wind. Let me read you from 1 Kings 11. It says, he had 700 wives. He didn't follow his own advice. Stick with one for the rest of you. At the end, he's saying stick with the one the rest of your life. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. You can see why his life was a mess. And his wives turned away his heart. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. As wise as he was, he rebelled spiritually. Even if you're wise, it doesn't mean you're perfect. Being wise needs something added to it, and that's you having a spiritual life with God. Solomon didn't have what you have. He couldn't do it like you did it. So yes, take all of his wisdom and apply it, and then go further. There's further with God. He couldn't pray like Paul prayed. He didn't think like Paul thought. Paul said, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Open the eyes of our understanding that we would know the hope of our calling, the riches of the glory. Solomon's just talking about natural things, missing spiritual things. Paul said, we are strengthened. I want you to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So that there's this spiritual stuff that we can now understand. That's what we rejoice in. That's what we need to be familiar with. Turn to the end of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Solomon's conclusion, Ecclesiastes 12:13. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Boy, that's a good one. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Stop there. Many a sermon has been preached on this. So is that what it's all about? Fear God and keep his commandments. Is that the whole duty of man? On one hand, you need to obey God. Keep his command. Yes, yes. But is that the whole duty of man?
No.
No, now that Jesus has come, we have a duty to relate to God as Father. We have a duty to connect with the Holy Spirit. We have a duty to establish relationship, fellowship, life with a living person. That's a bigger duty. It is not just about obedience anymore. It goes back further than the law of Moses. It goes back to Adam. Adam was created not to obey. He should have obeyed, but he was not created to obey. Adam was not even created to worship. We need to obey and worship God. That's not why we were created. God didn't create Adam and Eve and said, worship me. He didn't create us for worship him. He created us to be a friend. He would just come walk with them in the cool of the day. He created us for rulership of this earth, partnership in his creation. That came before obedience and worship. He didn't create Adam and Eve and say, now obey me. I've got a lot to tell you. No, he created him and said, don't do one thing. That's all I'm asking. Don't do one thing. Certainly we obey and certainly we worship. But we have a bigger duty to establish a relationship with God. To seek after him, if haply we might find him. And receive Jesus. Hear the message of Jesus. Receive Jesus Christ. Enter into relationship with God. Wake up to a living God within. Accept the Holy Spirit and the power thereof. Establish communion and fellowship daily with the Holy Spirit. Yes, we keep his commandments, but we also keep the leading of the Holy Spirit. So now it's more than just commands off of a page that we keep. We have to follow the Holy Spirit. So the conclusion of the whole matter is establish relationship with God and follow the Holy Spirit through life. Establish relationship with God, follow his word, and follow his Holy Spirit the rest of your life. That's our duty. So when you think of command keeping, you better think of Holy Spirit command keeping. Because the Holy Spirit's going to keep you in the will of God. He's going to keep you in right relationships with people. Holy Spirit's going to keep you in the right job, right city. He's not going to allow you to just pack up and decide where you're going. Be careful about that. People are oblivious to the will of God so often and make choices of where they live and who they're with and all of that just because they wanted it. Oh no, you're supposed to ask the Lord if this is your will and then follow the Holy Spirit to get there. What job? When? How much? Where am I headed? All the little decisions daily following the Holy Spirit through this life. That's the whole duty of man. Holy Spirit's expecting you to listen. Let's not be dull on the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in tongues so that you're sensitive enough to not be so dull. So that you're sensitive enough to just take the little leading of your heart somewhere rather than your brain. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Turn to Colossians with me. We're going to end with just a couple little prayer passages. Colossians chapter 1, it's a prayer that Paul prayed for the church here, but it opens us up to the spiritual stuff. Verse 9, Colossians 1, 9, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Stop there. All of these spiritual words, it makes your flesh want to run. Listen, all of this spiritual context makes your flesh uncomfortable. It's like, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. But to the woke person, to the one awakened to God, it's exciting. There's potential in here. There's hope in these words. Strengthened with all might. Are you strengthened with all might? Do you know what that feels like to be strengthened with all might? By His Spirit in the inner man? Do you in the back know what that means to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man? Do you know what that means? If you don't know what that means, and if you've never felt that, you need to pray this. If you're going to please God, if you're going to do the conclusion of the whole matter, you're going to have to figure out what this spiritual stuff is all about, because Jesus died for it. He didn't die just for you to go to heaven. He didn't die for you to just have a comfortable life. He died so you could have some excitement. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man is something pretty special. It'll make you kind of want to explode sometimes on the couch. It'll make you just want to love somebody to pieces. It'll make you overlook somebody that's hurt you and just see right through to their spirit, recognize, "Whoo, I love you." That one got a few groans. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Verse 8, Philippians 1:8. "For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affections of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment," or wisdom, "that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." Notice he uses this word discernment, and in the other prayer it was wisdom. It's the same thing, all right? When you ask God, some people think the gift that's mentioned of the Holy Spirit called discerning of spirits, that is not discernment. There's no gift of discernment. The gift from the Holy Spirit that comes with power is discerning of spirits. That's discerning demons and angels, detecting so that you can minister to somebody when there's a demon or angel that could help, the angel that could help or a demon that could oppress. That's discerning of spirits. That's different than having good discernment. So you never want to look at somebody that's smart or wise and say, you have the gift of discernment. There is no such scripture called gift of discernment. Okay? It's wisdom. Everybody can have wisdom. If somebody is saying you have the gift of discernment, you should be hearing, yep, I've been asking God for wisdom. Because discernment is simply wisdom. Understanding things, solving problems. It's one step further than knowledge. Knowledge is knowing the facts. Wisdom is the ability to use the facts to come out with the right outcome. Understanding is kind of similar. It's understanding what's happening, why it worked. So knowledge is knowing some stuff. Wisdom is knowing how to use that stuff to get a result. And understanding is knowing why that worked. We need it all. But everybody can have wisdom. Everybody should have wisdom. And that's why I said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask from God. But if you're going to ask for it, you can't waver in getting it. You have to expect it, desire it firmly, stand there, thank God for it, pray it over and over again until you start seeing some spiritual wisdom take root in you. And then you'll start making so many dumb choices in the natural. And you'll be able to catch spiritual things in church on a Sunday morning from the back row. And kids, you might as well get your kids and teenagers praying these prayers. They'll be better at school. They'll be better among their peers. They'll remember scriptures easier. They'll know when to say no to peer pressure, culture pressure. They'll know how to stand in this ungodly society and be a beacon. Amen? All right, please stand. Get wisdom, let's get it. Let's just do a quick prayer for it. You'll need to do this at home, but let's just expect it from God. Say this out loud. Say, God, give me. I really want this. Give me the spirit of wisdom. Teach me. Give me great discernment. I want to know your word better. I want to understand life better. And I want to know spiritual things better. I need it all from you, God. So today I receive some from you. I want to be filled with your wisdom and all spiritual understanding. I pray it for my friends here. I pray it for my kids, my grandkids. Thank you for it, God. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.